Hey, yeah, I just turned 20. It's pretty cool. No longer a teenager. No longer on your level. Okay, so sorry we don't have that connection anymore. I'm 20 now, okay? I'm mature. I'm an adult. I do taxes. I should be doing taxes, actually, the past 2 years. Yikes. Anyways, on my birthday, every year on my birthday, it's either a week away or just somewhere around my birthday, I go to this place with my family and usually a couple friends. I go to this place, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about it, okay? This place, oh, it's amazing. Oh, man, weeks before, like, my heart is already racing. I'm so excited. The night before we leave, I can't sleep. And then I maybe get a two-hour nap in, and at 4 in the morning, I got crusty eyes and a hurt stomach, and I just fall into the car, and my mom or dad has a big cup of coffee, and they're ready to drive. And we all pile in the car, and we're still excited. We look like we're zombies. We look like we're dead, but we're excited because we're going to this place, right? And then about six or seven hours later, we get there. We get to our hotel. We throw our stuff down really quick. We get a new change of clothes on. We slap on some more deodorant. Some of you need to do that right now. I can feel it. This section, all these boys right here. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We slap on a fresh one. We get ready. We got our cards in hand, and we're at the gate. We go up to the gate. We scan our cards, and there's this, like, twinkling sound. Like magic has just touched our card. And then they hand it back to you, and they smile at you. And they say, have a great day. And you're like, oh, I will. Oh, I will. And you step through, and right when you get there, you see a big garden in front of you. Right? And you see this symbol. Everybody knows it. You could show it to anyone around the world, and they could tell you exactly who that is, exactly where I am. Right? And then you go through one of the side tunnels. There are two tunnels. You go through them, and then truly, you feel like you entered into a different land, we could say. And you got Main Street. Main Street, it's this cool street where you got desserts, you got sweets, you got crazy light up things that, you know, everybody wants. And it's daytime and you still want one. You got cookies that melt right in your mouth. Churros. Oh, churros. They're crunchy and they're nice and soft right in the middle. And you got that cinnamon sugar on there that just melts right on your tongue. Mmm. Oh, man. Oh, I'm ready. Oh, man, you're there. And you got a few choices of where to go. You could go to a frontier, a land of adventure, right? Maybe see some pirates. Maybe see a guy searching for the world's greatest treasures. Maybe you see a house that's filled with ghosts and ghouls. It's haunted, right? Maybe you go to another land, a land of the future, a land of tomorrow, where you can get a tour of the stars. You could take an intergalactic adventure, right? You can go to space if you want to. You can see the inventions of the future. The newest video games, cool weird chairs, just crazy stuff that you couldn't believe. And then, oh, this last land. We all know it. The land of princes, princesses, fairy tales. Magic, where magic, it all comes together. You got puppets who turned into real boys, right? You got little boys who fight pirates and never grow up. You got princesses who find their one true love and live happily ever after, right? What am I talking about? I'm talking about Disneyland, right? Disneyland. Who's been to Disneyland? Raise your hand. Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. Yes, Disneyland. I go there every year on my birthday. This place is great. So now, I just told you a little bit about Disneyland. What do you want to do? You guys want to go to Disneyland? Yeah? Good. We got a bus outside right now. All your parents know. We're going to Disneyland. Are you ready? Everybody stand up. Let's go. We're going. Come on. I'm just kidding. No, sit down. Sit down. No. No. No, we're not. I'm going. I'm going, I leave on Saturday, so if you guys want to come, just pile in my car. No, yeah, Disneyland, right? Who hasn't been to Disneyland? Anyone? Oh, man. We're going to have prayer after the service if you need to talk to someone. Disneyland, it's wonderful. And after I just explained all that to you, you want to go, right? Oh, you want to go. You want to take pictures. The guys, they want to take pictures with the princesses, right? You do. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Man, you want to go. You want to ride the rides. You want to eat the food in each land that is, goes perfect for what it's with, right? Oh, man. Disneyland. It's the happiest place on earth. And you really, after... I could explain it. I could sit up here and keep talking about Disneyland. I've been many, many times. But nothing is like experiencing Disneyland. Am I right? Nothing is like actually going to Disneyland. And it's interesting because Disneyland is a place for all ages. I mean, kids your age like it. You know, younger kids, infants, probably my godson Asher would love it. You know, and the funny thing is adults love it too. They do. I worked at Peter Piper Pizza for a year and a half. I was the game counter guy. Yeah, I was that guy you brought tickets to. And I see the look on your parents' faces. They are not happy to be there. It's very interesting. We got parents in the room, right? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Eddie's like, yeah, get me out of there. You guys all enjoy it, but your parents don't. But it's interesting. Disney has this crazy magic. Disneyland, where your parents, they get like this big smile on their face and they feel like they're a kid again. And it's amazing, but it's only a land that you can actually experience and go to, be a part of it. Who went with junior high last year? We went. Oh, man, it's so good. And so this idea of actually going rather than talking about it is a little bit of what we're talking about today. Because we started this series, John, 2 weeks ago. We started at the beginning of the year, and we talked a little bit about Jesus. We talked about who he is. We gave it to you straight. We said, Jesus is God. He's God. And there was a guy named John the Baptist who was telling all these guys about this guy who was coming. About Jesus. About God. And they had all heard about him. And all heard about how great he is. And how he is the Lamb of God who takes away our sins. They heard all about him. But today we're going to look at their first experience with him. The first time they actually encountered him and how they responded. And so maybe think about today, 2,000 years later, after you've heard a little bit about Jesus, just heard, what's your response? If you realize that you have an opportunity to experience Jesus, what are you going to do? Are you just going to kind of overlook it? Are you going to do something? Just think about that as we dig in. But first, I'm going to pray. So let's pray. God, I thank you for Sunday mornings, JHM. They're a lot of fun, Lord. I thank you that this is a place where we can have fun, where we can sing as loud as we want, where we can be goofy and just get real and ultimately learn more about you. And I thank you for your word. And I thank you for who you are and that you sent your son. And I pray that we can learn to experience you. So in your name we pray. Amen. So will you go with me to John? Open your Bibles to John chapter 1, starting in verse 35. If you don't have a Bible, we probably pass them out. Who needs a Bible? Raise your hand. We got a leader. We got Ruth. Ruth and Shane. Shane's still wearing a towel. He'll pass them out. Yeah, Spencer. Spencer will pass them out. Just wave your hand up in the air. Like you just don't care. That's right. You can get a Bible. Get a Bible. John. It's going to be in the New Testament. You're going to see a few guys' names. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. Chapter 1, starting in verse 35. If you're there, say, I got it.
I got it.
There it is. You got it. Thank you. All right. We're gonna dig in. John chapter 1, starting in verse 35.
The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." Now, Shane explained this last week, but I'm gonna hit it real fast. I'm gonna explain it really quick. So the Lamb of God is not like some crazy lamb that's from God that like has superpowers and, you know, can fight evil or whatever. No. The Lamb of God in the Old Testament, the lamb was an animal that you would sacrifice. That would be the atonement for your sins. That would forgive you of your sins. And so this was the Lamb of God. This was the one that would forgive you of all your sins. And so this was a big deal. This is the one they've heard about. And that's John saying, "Hey, remember the guy I was talking about? That's him. That's him right there. He's walking by." Verse 37, when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Now, it's kind of weird that they tell us what time it is. It was 4 in the afternoon, but it's not weird. Because in those times, at about 4 in the afternoon, it's where you kind of get in your house and you'd wind down for the night. You'd maybe lock the door because the sun's going down. There's no street lights. Can't call mom to come pick you up. This was a time where usually you were in for the night. Because it was too dangerous, it was too dark, it was too scary to be out and about. So the fact that they weren't home, but they were still hanging out with Jesus means that they were just in awe of him. They must have been having a great time with Jesus, getting to know him and experiencing him. They didn't care that it was going to be a hard journey home because they were with Jesus. They were with the Lamb of God. They were with this guy that they had heard about and that they knew was coming. So verse 40, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two that heard what John had said and who followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. So Andrew, he's one of the guys who was sitting there. And John was like, "Hey, that's the Lamb of God." And Andrew popped up and was like, "All right, I'm following him." Andrew was a guy who was a follower of John the Baptist. He was a guy who had heard all about Jesus. He had heard all about this Lamb of God who was coming. And then he was a guy who spent the whole day with him. He was an actual guy who heard and then experienced. He wasn't just a guy who was like, "Oh, yeah, I know that guy. I believe, yeah, sure." No. He saw him and he experienced him. He spent a full day with him. He was hanging out with him, and it was 4 in the afternoon. And so the first thing he does, is he goes and tells his brother. He goes and tells probably the person he cares about more than anything about what's happened. He tells him, "Hey, we found the Messiah. We found him." The first thing he does, he doesn't go home and change. He doesn't do anything like that. He just goes and he has to tell someone. He has to tell the person he cares about most what's happened. "Hey, man, you got to see this. This is crazy. You got to see this. He's here. It's him." And so he brings his brother Simon to Jesus. Continuing in 42, Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. Now, like, that's another thing we look at and we're like, okay, Jesus just gave him a new name. That's kind of weird. If I went up to one of you, if I went up to Aiden here and I was like, "Aiden, your name is now Bartholomew. Cool. Have a great day." No, it wasn't like that. He wasn't just like, "I don't like your name." No. He was true. It meant something else. Your name in the Bible was who you were. That's who you were. And so him giving Simon a new name was significant. He was giving him almost like a new like format or being a new person, if you will, because he was becoming a follower of Jesus. He said, you will be called Cephas, which is Peter. And you hear about Peter all the time through these Gospels. And it's really interesting because in Mark chapter 14, verse 37, you see this scene where Jesus is in the garden. He says, "Hey, guys, I'm going to go pray real quick. I need you to chill. I need you guys just to wait for me. Just wait." And Peter falls asleep. And Jesus comes back and he says, Simon, why are you sleeping? What are you doing? And so that's a little bit like this. Have your parents ever said something like, Dylan Raymond Berry? Are they going to follow with something really, really nice? Dylan Raymond Berry. I made you cupcakes. They're on the counter. Frosting on the top. Also in the center. Sprinkles are on there. And there's cookies with it too. And a nice warm glass of milk. I love you, sweetie. No. You've all been there. We've all been there. Dylan Raymond Berry. What died in your room? Are you kidding me? What are you doing? Don't use my middle name at me. Just please don't. Someone did that for sure. But Dylan Raymond Berry, that's really what he's saying, Simon. Say, what are you doing, Simon? What are you doing? It was almost as if Jesus said, hey, you're going back to your old ways. You're going back to the way you were before I met you. You're going back to that old person. You're Peter. You're not Simon. Wake up, man. Wake up. Stop sleeping. So it's really interesting. And that's really the significance of that. It wasn't just, hey, Bartholomew, good to see you, bud. That's your name now. That's you. No, it was much, much more than that. So we're continuing in verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, Philip said. So basically, Philip said, hey, this is the one they talked about. He's here. We got him. And Nathanael's like, no, from Nazareth? No way. So Philip says, no, you got to come and see it then. It's a lot like this, okay? Here's a little something you guys don't know about me. I can do a 360 windmill backflip dunk and bring it down, right? I can do it. I can do it. No, I do it almost every week. Usually just on a few guys, just dunking on them, and then they have to go home and they're crying. It happens all the time, right? If I tell you that, you're probably like, no way, Dylan. You're a skinny white boy. You can't even, you're just, I see you, you're lanky. There's no way. I would say, hey, come and see it. Come and check it out. I bet you I could. I bet you I could. And then if you came, and of course I do it, and I break the rim, and then I owe a lot of money to wherever I'm at, I would do it, and then you would believe me, right? You couldn't believe me until you actually saw it. I mean, I can do it. It's true. I can do it, right? Yeah, I can do it. It's totally, it's really easy. And then I take the hoop off of the door, and then, that's usually what happens. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, it's not a standard hoop. But really, that's really what he did. He explained this thing to him. Nathanael was like, no way. How could that come from there? He said, hey, you got to come and see it, man. This isn't something I can keep explaining to you. You got to actually come and see it to believe it. So that's really what he's saying there. 47. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree, and you will see greater things than that. He just saw the windmill 360 backflip dunk. He just saw it. Nathanael didn't believe him, so he went and he experienced God. He experienced Jesus. He actually went and saw for himself. The words weren't enough for him. So he had to go and see him. And he saw him. And he believed. And Jesus even said, he said, you believe because I told you I saw you. You believe because you encountered me. And really today, we're looking at the attitude of these disciples. And I have each one written down. And it's really, really interesting. They each did something, right, when they heard, right? They did something. Andrew, when he heard, he got up and he followed Jesus around, right? John was like, hey, that's the Lamb of God. So Andrew was like, oh, okay, cool. And either what he did was he followed him and was like, oh, I believe you. so I'm going to go follow him. Or he got up and he was like, you know what? I don't know. I'm going to check this out. I'm going to check this out. So he followed him, spent time with him, experienced him, and truly believed and truly knew. And then what's the first thing he did after he experienced God? He went and he told his brother. He went and told someone he cared about. Yo, I got to tell someone. It was overflowing in him how much he needed to tell someone because he actually experienced Jesus. It was so big. It was so important to him. We got Simon. Simon, he was brought by his brother. He probably was maybe even dragged by his brother, but he showed up and he's like, oh, cool, I got a new name now. Okay. It's really interesting. This is actually not where Peter actually became a follower of Jesus. Really, this isn't it. In Luke chapter 5, later on, you see a story where Peter is ending his day at work. He has brought boats ashore. He's a fisherman. And it's really, really crazy. Jesus comes up to him. He says, hey, put me on one of these boats and take me out to the deep water. Peter probably was just like, oh, okay, we're kind of done here, but all right, let's do it. So they go out to the water, and Jesus says, hey, throw your net out there. Throw your net out there. And Peter's just like, we haven't caught any fish all day, man. There's no fish out there. There's none. Jesus says, hey, just throw it. Throws his net out there, and the net almost breaks because it has so much fish. The net, they can't even handle it. It's so much fish. And Peter falls on his knees and says, he says, I'm a sinner. Go away from me. You are God. I'm a sinner. Go away from me. I can't do this. And Jesus says to him, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. So come and follow me. And Peter here in John, what we read in John, that was where he was just curious about Jesus. He didn't really commit to him. He wasn't too sure. But it took an experience from Jesus. Him actually seeing the miracles that he performs. Him seeing the change that he can make. That really got Peter to be a follower. He was curious. He didn't just hear something and then not do anything. He did something. And he continued to be involved with Jesus. And there's also Peter. And I know Simon, Peter, same guy. But maybe you're more like Peter in that you're sleeping. You've been a Christian a long time. Long time. Maybe your whole life. Maybe only recently. Maybe it was summer camp last year. You really felt God change you. But you've been sleeping lately. You've been back to your old ways. You've been at school. You know, you've still been that crazy kid who's just, you know, you're not changed at all. And you're back to your old ways. And Jesus is saying to you, hey, wake up. Wake up. Okay, I have something better for you. I love you. I care about you. And you're going the wrong way. And he's saying, wake up. Maybe that's you. Maybe you can relate to Peter. Or maybe you're Nathaniel. You're doubting. You're like, there's no way. There's no way. But the one thing about Nathaniel is he, even though he doubted almost, is he still waiting? He had to get an answer. He had to go and experience it for himself. Because I could stand up here and talk about Disneyland. I could talk about a movie I saw. I could be like, guys, oh my gosh, I went and saw Into the Woods. Oh my gosh, that movie was so good. You have to go see it, guys. You have to go see it. It's so good. There's songs. There's. It's so good. That's all. There's songs. It's so good. You have to go see it, right? When you go see a movie and it's so good, you want to go tell your friends, hey, dude, you got to go see this movie, bro. You got to go see it. It's so good. You got to see this movie. Right? But we go to church camp. We go to house groups. We go to church on Sunday. And we experience God. And it is really good. But yet, it's hard for us to share and go tell our brothers. Go tell the people we care about so much. They just have to know. But let me tell you, it's not, if you're sitting here and you've just been listening, you just come every Sunday or you get dragged here and it's just you hear us. Experiencing Jesus doesn't always happen on the weekend. Because we're up here, Shane's up here, Chris is up here, we're up here like Andrew. We want to, your leaders are here. They're like Andrew. They want you to know about this great thing. Because we've all experienced it. We know how good it is. It's the reason we're up here every week. You know, it's the reason why we put on these events for you. It's the reason winter camp is happening. Because we know when you're up there in that beautiful area with no phones, no distractions, no drama, no school to worry about, no pressure, no nothing. That's where Jesus gets experienced and not explained. And Jesus is meant to be experienced, not explained. So that's really the challenge. That's the takeaway. It is for us to be like the disciples, the first disciples, in experiencing Jesus and actually doing something, getting into a house group, maybe signing up for winter camp, maybe just going to one of our events and just checking us out, seeing how you can experience. Because I'll tell you what, I've seen it in our own house group. There are nights where it's raw and we have good conversations and you can feel it. You can experience Jesus from the love that our guys give to each other. You know, they care for each other. I mean, you can see it. You hear the many testimonies. One of the baptisms last night from a junior hire was the fact that she went to camp. And life was changed there. Jesus, she met Jesus there and he changed her life. So that's the challenge. Is when you hear about this, just check it out. I'm not telling you, hey, follow, go follow. I'm saying experience it. Because each one of us is going to have a different story. We're going to have a different path we take to get there. But experiencing Jesus is really what it's all about, because he can't be explained. He can't. It's something you got to actually be there for. Just like Disneyland, just like any movie you see, it's really, hey, you got to see it for yourself. You got to come. Come and see. So let's pray. God, I thank you that you love us and that you sent your son. God, and I thank that each of us get to encounter you in our own way. And I pray that we would be bold enough to do that. Maybe some of us are here and we have encountered you. And we really just need to tell someone, because you're just so amazing. And maybe we're just curious here and we're dragged to school, we're dragged to church, and it's really hard for us. But maybe we just need to try to check it out. God, I pray that you give us that bravery and that boldness to do that. And I thank you that there's a place, that we have a JHM with leaders and with staff that just really, really care about these students. And I pray that they would know that. And I just thank you for your word and for your son. I pray that we have a great week. In your name we pray. Amen.